have your Bible with you, turn with me to 1 Samuel 17, and again, just keep your finger there. I text Edward before church started and said that since he's preaching for Gerald tonight, he could just hurry back and he could preach it here too. He texts back something about that being very funny. I didn't know that I was implying humor, but he took it that way. 1 Samuel chapter 17, I started this almost a year and a half ago, and I didn't get very far. I don't remember why, but I didn't get very far with it. And so tonight, perhaps we'll hear the conclusion of the matter. Would you bow your head with me as we ask the Lord for his help? Lord Jesus, we are grateful for your blessings. We are grateful that you carry our burden. Grateful, Lord, tonight for your word. It gives us direction in our life. It gives us what we need in our lives. Tonight I pray that you would give us that anointing that is needed. I pray that you would anoint my lips and my mind. I pray that you would anoint our ears and our hearts, that we might be receptive to what you would have for us in this message. In Jesus' name, amen. The story is one of the most favorite stories of the Bible. One of the favorite stories of the Old Testament, for sure. David is sent down to the battlefield to check on his brothers. His father is wondering what is taking place. Long time, not much word coming back. David, being a teenager, I suppose, was excited about the prospects, and so he goes. And he finds that the armies of Israel are in battle array against the army of the Philistines. And as he approaches, he hears the battle cry. The warriors, the army, is ready to go out to fight. They are just simply waiting for the command to march. In the midst of what is taking place right there, David sees some activity over on the other side of the trench, as it were, and this man steps out, whom he quickly learns is a man named Goliath. Fearful in his appearance, people look at him, and the army of Israel looks at him, and they are trembling, and many of them turn and run. They are afraid. David is shocked at what is taking place as this man, Goliath, this foul-mouthed Philistine, curses the God of Israel. Someone pipes up and, for whatever reason, are they doing it for David's benefit or are they doing it for their own benefit, but they begin to lay out what the king would give for reward to the person that successfully goes against this Philistine. There's economic reward, there's domestic reward, there's also political reward. Economically, the family of the person that kills Goliath would be wealthy, would be rich. Domestically, the person that kills Goliath would be privileged or honored to marry the king's daughter. Politically, the family of the one that kills Goliath would be tax exempt. Well, that'd be something that people would jump at, sure enough. You'd think that they would go for those rewards, but nobody steps up. And very soon after it's first mentioned, then you'll find it in verse 26 where David is wanting to hear it again. Tell me again what the rewards are going to be for the person that kills Goliath. Now, why in the world would this little young lad, perhaps 17 years of age, be interested in hearing what the reward would be for the person that kills him? But somewhere along the line, as this is taking place, word gets over to David's brother, Eliab. And Eliab comes around and sees what's going on and hears some of the speech of David, and he accuses David of being proud and having a problem with pride and the naughtiness of his heart. And David, what about those few sheep that Daddy has entrusted into your care? He says to David that the reason why he's there is just so he could see the battle and perhaps go back home to his other shepherd friends and somewhat be a hero to them because he was able to see the gore of the battle. David is surprised at his brother. I can picture in my mind that Eliab would be one of David's heroes. His big brother is a soldier in Saul's army. His brother is one of the biggest of Israel. His brother has an impressive figure in the place of people, and people look at him and hold respect. Remember, Samuel looked at him and thought very highly of him as well. Maybe David had all of these feelings about his brother, but now his brother is coming at him with these condescending accusations. David responds to his brother innocently. He said, "Well, what have I done? What have I done? I haven't done anything. Isn't there a cause here?" That's a question that seems to ring down through the ages of time since he spoke it. Is there not a cause? Maybe you can hear in David's voice back to Eliab the innocency of that question. If there isn't a cause, then why are you down here playing cowboys and Indians? If there isn't a cause, then why don't you go home with me? Dad could use your help. Dad's not getting any younger. He needs some extra help around and you're just down here playing some war game. But David recognized that there was a cause that brought the people of Israel, the army of Israel, to be in battle array against the Philistines. David recognized the cause when the giant Goliath stepped out and gave his vehemence against the army of Israel and the God of the army of Israel. David recognized that cause was bigger than the giant. David recognized that the cause was bigger than the problem that he was facing at that time. David recognized that the cause was more important than even impending danger. The cause doesn't ask the question, how much does it pay? The cause is simply a burning fire down inside. You see, David didn't respond to Eliab from his head, but he responded to Eliab from his heart. God needs people to stand up for the cause. It was the cause that lit David up. It was the cause that got David on his feet. It was the cause that he saw at that present time that reminded him of past times that God helped him. It was the fire of that cause that helped David to overcome some obstacles. Though our obstacles may not be the same as David's, you and I also will have to overcome obstacles. There will be some things that you and I have to face that will try their best to keep us from allowing the cause of the kingdom of God to burn within our heart. We may have a head knowledge, but we need a burning fire within of the cause. The first thing that David had to overcome was the contemptuous reproach of his brother. This particular conflict with his brother was not an easy conflict. But as Eliab rebuked him for his pride and his naughtiness as he saw it, David could have very easily at that point, as he respected his brother and perhaps held Eliab as a hero, could have turned around and excused himself from the cause and gone home and told his dad that the boys were fine, the army's okay, and then went out to his friends and would have become somewhat of a hero because he had been privileged to be in vision or to see a spectator at part of a battle. But he stood his ground. He stood his ground because he felt down inside that there was a cause. Someone went talking to the king, and we find that the next thing that he had to overcome was that contemptuous doubt coming from the leader. Verse number 33 of this chapter, you'll notice that David is now standing before the king. Remember that was this king is the one that stood head and shoulders above everyone else. He had an appearance. He had the physique that drew respect and drew attention. There was something about Saul that was admired by people. Of all of his people, Saul should have been the one who had courage enough to go and stand up for the cause. But the king looks at David and said, "No, you can't go. You're just a youth, and this man that you're suggesting that you go and fight has been a warrior from his youth. That's all he has known is his fighting abilities." Now, for us to get a better understanding of what may have been going on in David's mind, this person that was telling David that he was too young, that he couldn't go, was not the normal, so to speak, Monday morning quarterback. This was the king. This is the leader of the army. This guy was the instructor in battle. He's the one that was going to say if they went to battle or not. He's the one that said we march or that we don't march. And he was telling David that he could not go to battle. The story's been told of a particular church in some denomination that was a tough one. The superintendent of that denomination was always willing to send young guys down there to try them out and to see if they could make it. And if they could make it there, then they could go on to some bigger and better places. But one day the doors closed because there wasn't anybody else to send. Superintendent's phone rang, and on the other end of the line was a young man that was requesting the opportunity to be allowed to go and start holding services in that church again. Superintendent must have known who he was because he felt that there wasn't much ability here. The young man stuttered a little bit and he wasn't much to look at, but he gave him a key anyway and figured that that would be the last that he would hear from him for some time. But after the first month of this young man holding services in that church, he got the report of how many people were coming to the services. And then the second month, the report came in that the Lord was helping and people were getting saved. The third month came as a startling reminder to the superintendent of what the cause was all about when the young man said, "Why don't you come down? The Lord's a-helping us. Come down and preach a revival meeting for us." You see, the bottom line was simply that a young man saw and felt and realized the cause, and it burned within him. That brings to mind a little three-word concoction, I guess you could say, about the ministry or about God's work or about the cause. You see the need, you feel the burden, then you trust God. See, feel, and trust. I suppose I got that off of Rowan Fay as I talked with him about a particular situation, and he simply wrote it on a piece of paper and slipped it across the table to me. See, feel, and trust. See the need, feel the burden, trust the Lord. That's what this young man did at that church that had a history of being a troubled place. If we take a look at David's resume, what would we find on there in relationship to his credentials or for his credentials for the task? Would we find that he was some great martial arts expert? Maybe somewhere on that resume it would say that he was an expert rifleman. Maybe he was the best fighter pilot that a person could find. But no, it seems as though the only thing that we find on David's resume was that he had killed a lion and he killed a bear. Now, it improves a little bit when we read a little further and find out how he killed that lion and bear. It wasn't through martial arts. It wasn't because he was an expert rifleman or he flew his plane down and raised them with his gun power that's on that plane. No, the point of it that he killed this lion and a bear was that they came into the camp and it stole a lamb and he went out and struck the lion, he struck the bear, and as it released the lamb and turned on him, then it seems that he took it by the beard and he slew the lion and he slew the bear. I saw some pretty good size cat tracks yesterday in the mud. I was holding a gun, not a slingshot or leather strap sling like perhaps he would have had, and I felt a little bit of hair standing up on the back of my neck at the size of those feline tracks. I don't know what they were. I'm not even going to speculate as to how big it was. I just presumed it was an extra sized bobcat. And didn't matter. Raised some hair. Can you imagine going against a bear or a lion with what he had? Sometimes what we want is the high class or the eloquent or the master, when really all that we need is for people to see, to feel, and to trust. David said, I slew them, and this uncircumcised Philistine will also be as one of them. What confidence! The reason why David seemed to have such confidence was because this uncircumcised Philistine had defied the living God. That's powerful to us. The cause is what stood out, not the man, not the size of the man, or the grotesque appearance of the man even, but it was the cause that stood out in David's mind. Burned within him, and he believed that God was bigger than the giant. Could I add right here that this cause that David was feeling was bigger than the cause that he had experienced with the lion and the bear as he was a shepherd? That was important to him, and he rose to the challenge, and he did what he felt he needed to do. But he felt like this cause was bigger than that cause. Oh, I don't like the looks of him. I don't know what he looked like. I don't suppose that David could see too much of his physical appearance, but maybe out of that huge helmet was a big old shock of hair protruding, and maybe a big old beard that was being pushed out, and maybe it looked like he hadn't taken a bath for a long time, and it was greasy and cockle burrs in it and all sorts of stuff. Maybe he just plain looked grotesque, but we don't see David saying, you know, Goliath, I don't like your looks. I don't like what you're wearing. I don't like how you smell. He just simply said, you have cursed, in so many words, you have cursed the living God because of the cause. David had to review He had to review his resume in great detail with Saul, and maybe Saul realized something in this squirt. Can I say it that way in light of what he was going against? This little guy, he saw something in him and finally said, okay, you can go. And I'm sure that Saul had to reach deep within him and tell him, God be with you. But then David had to overcome the next obstacle. And that obstacle was the decor of Saul's armor. Wouldn't that be something to be able to go home from the battle and say, I had Saul's armor on? That's impressive. Didn't fit. My head bounced around inside his helmet. The coat of mail hung down past my waist. Could hardly get my knees to work. But that would be impressive. It tells us in the scripture that David tried to go. He essayed to go. He attempted to do it. Verse number 39. He attempted to do it, but he had not proved it. And David finally said to Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them. And David put them off. Some people have done very well for the cause until they get a few stripes. Look at me. It reminds me of the story about the fishermen's convention. I know I've given it here before. Perhaps you remember it. They found somebody who had caught one fish, and so he was on the circuit and going from convention to convention to talk about catching fish and how to catch fish. He became somewhat of a popular person because he caught a fish. Look what I've done. I've achieved this. I've accomplished this. I'm the poster child for this. Look what I've struggled through to accomplish one fishing success story. David could have very easily gone home at this point. Once again, the suit didn't fit. I couldn't fight in that suit of armor. The load was too heavy. I need something else. And since nothing else is available, I'll just back out. I just couldn't go. Really, though, we can't do it the way somebody else does it. We have to go into God's cause with what God gives us. We have to do it the way God wants us to do it, through us. We have to go with the cause burning, like Jeremiah said, as a fire in my bones. David had to overcome his brother. He had to overcome the king. He had to overcome the armor. But we also find as he's making his way down over the hill to the brook and picks up 5 smooth stones and looks up at the giant that is glaring down over the other hill at him, and then we find that he has to overcome the contempt, the degrading contempt, the humiliating contempt of this giant. I still remember the picture that was painted for us with the Bakers in VBS program as Brother Baker walked under that threshold with those stilts strapped to his feet, and how he fell to the ground. How imposing of a figure he was in comparison to the little boy that was chosen to play David. I don't suppose that portrayal was even really like it was. Goliath was huge in every way, and the vehemence coming from his mouth added to his despicable, gross figure. It would have been easy for a 17-year-old lad to turn around from that humiliating degradation or contempt that came from his mouth, but he still had the burning within him, and he cried out to Goliath. He said, I come to you in the name of the Lord. Goliath looked at him and saw a stick and saw some stones, and he said to David, he said, Do you think I'm a dog? That's the way we treat our dogs, with sticks and stones. Do you think I'm a dog? You're just a kid. You don't even shave yet. David, how in the world do you think you are going to fight against me? Maybe if Goliath would have stopped there, all would have been well for him. But he made a grave mistake. He began to curse God again. And it was that cursing that got David into that place to begin with. And when he cursed God again, David simply told him, I'm coming to you in the name of that God that you're defying. Goliath was a man of war, but he played a poor strategy when he touched the nerve of the cause that was down inside the heart of David. Even when we're ridiculed or cursed or spit upon, there's still a cause. And as I mentioned, it may be that our obstacles will be different from David's obstacles. We may not have family going against us. We may not have the leader pushing against us. We may not have to deal with armor that does not fit. But there are obstacles that will come in our pathway to keep us, to prevent us from allowing the cause to burn down in our heart. While the obstacles may be different, the cause is still the same. What is the cause that we're fighting for? What is the cause that we're standing up for? What is the cause that is burning within us? The cause should remain the same as it was for David. God's honor, God's glory, God's name be praised. Matter of fact, Paul said that in all things we should give God praise. In all of our deeds, as well as our spirit, not just the things that we do, but the spirit in which we do it should be done with that cause burning within us. And so let's go back to that verse where David expresses that question. And think about it as our own question tonight. Is there not a cause? A cause for you and I to breathe. A cause for you and I to have burning within. A cause that will push us to do what we think we cannot do. What have I now done? Is they're not a cause. If we don't have a cause, then what are we doing? If we don't have a cause, then maybe we need to do, as was suggested from David's point of view, let's get back home to Dad and help him around the farm. Let's not be playing war games. But if we have a cause, let it burn deep within our heart. Would you stand with me this evening? God, help us to see, feel, and trust. See the need, feel the passion, trust the Lord. There is a cause. God, help us to feel the cause. Praise God. Karen, would you dismiss us in prayer tonight?